On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. June 1st, opening day for hurricane season, is just around the corner, and the debate over whether the Gulf Coast is ready for another Katrina is all too real. In New Orleans, where Mayor Ray Nagin has just been reelected, they're practicing evacuation. Along the Mississippi, the Army Corps of Engineers bulldozers have been roaring for months. National forecasters predict another heavy hurricane season, and Ivar Van Heerden says it all still adds up to huge vulnerability. The top Louisiana hurricane planner says the levees weren't right before, and they're not right now, that New Orleans may yet become a lost Atlantis. Up next on Point, the man who predicted Katrina looks ahead. Joining me now from New York is Ivar Van Heerden. He is co-founder and deputy director of the Louisiana State University Hurricane Center in Baton Rouge and professor of civil and environmental engineering. He's author of the new book, The Storm, What Went Wrong and Why During Hurricane Katrina, the inside story from one Louisiana scientist. Ivar Van Heerden, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
It's quite a critique that you lay out in this book. You were called Cassandra for a long time before this storm hit, and then it came. People were dodging responsibility for what happened in all kinds of directions. You go straight to the design of the levees themselves and say they were catastrophically wrong. What was the problem?
There were two major things. The one was in trying to determine what surge elevations the Corps designed these for. They used a very old definition of a hurricane, something they call the Standard Project Hurricane. They used a 1959 definition.
This is the Army Corps of Engineers that's responsible for so much of this protection.
The levees were designed and built by the Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing. The second thing was they ended up with designs that didn't take into account how weak the soils were. So we had catastrophic structural failure in a number of locations because the wall or the flood wall couldn't stand the pressure because of the weakness of the soil and the design that they used.
We were told for weeks after Katrina that the levees had been overtopped, that the storm had been so severe that it had gone over the top and therefore the flooding. Was that a lie? Was that a misunderstanding? Was that spin? How do you see it?
There were a few locations where there was overtopping, but most of the water that got into New Orleans, 85% of it, came through the breaches, and those failed not because they were overtopped. They failed, again, because of the design not taking account the weak soils.
So was the Corps of Engineers not being honest with itself, not being honest with the country when it blamed it on overtopping? What was going on there?
I'm not quite sure what the Corps was trying to do. Certainly the impression you got was they were trying to say this was an act of God, you know, because we totally overpowered the system. This was a very, very strong storm. But we knew from our computer models that this actually wasn't such a bad storm and that the surge in Lake Pontchartrain hadn't been high enough to exceed the design limits. So, you know, the one way to look at this is if there's going to be a lot of litigation, there's going to be a lot of blame. 1,300 people lost their lives, 125,000 homes destroyed. So if you're scared of being labeled in the litigation, you want to try and convince everybody that this was an act of God rather than a man-made disaster.
You say that it may have been a Category 3 storm out at sea, but by the time it hit New Orleans, it was only Category 1, substantially below what the levees were supposed to be able to resist. So what about now? Is New Orleans safe in this coming hurricane season?
If we have another Katrina, we'll have flooding of the city, maybe not as bad. But we have to recognize that the levees are not high enough. We still have many, many miles of the so-called eye walls that failed so readily. And the last thing is, even though the Corps has restored the earthen levees on the eastern side of New Orleans, these are still earthen levees. They're not armored. And it was the waves in Katrina that destroyed those levees, and that could happen again.
So are we living in kind of la-la land? I mean, here's the headline from the White House is, White House says it's ready for hurricanes. That's yesterday.
Well, I don't know who they're talking to, but, you know, from our modeling, we know New Orleans is safe for a Category 2, and that's about it. And the worst case is if you had a storm like Katrina, which actually missed New Orleans, it went 30 miles east of New Orleans. But if you had a storm like Katrina that moved forward a little slower and went west of the city, you would completely flood everything. You know, you would flood all the areas that didn't flood, and you would flood what's known as the West Bank, that part of the city that's south of the river. All of that would be flooded as well.
We heard Michael Chertoff in the news here just at the top of the hour. This is, of course, the head of the Department of Homeland Security saying we've got four times as many meals ready to eat ready, four times as many trucks of ice, 2.5 times as many trucks of water. We're in the midst of mock evacuations. His message is readiness. Do you buy it?
Well, you know, certainly they've learned from the lack of response the first time round. And my understanding is they're going to use the military more. But the military can only achieve rough order. They can't get into, you know, the evacuations and creating the shelters and so on. You know, what I see is the U.S. Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee has recommended the disbandment of FEMA. We don't see anything else coming in. We don't see that FEMA has hired disaster experts. You know, what you really need is people in charge who've come up the ranks, who've learned by fire. They've been involved in disasters. They've felt them, smelt them, and so on. So they have a better feel for how to deal, how to manage these large events.
Ivor van Heerden, in the fall of 2004, almost a year before Katrina, you were asked by NOVA, the public television show. They said, if New Orleans were a patient in the hospital, how would you describe it? And you said, close to death. Is that still the case? And what did you mean by that?
Well, you know, if you recognize two things. One is that we've lost over 500,000 acres of our coastal wetlands that used to protect New Orleans. And we're still losing them at a very rapid rate. And that's our protection, that's our natural protection from surges. So we keep losing those, so that adds to, you know, the potential powerful impacts of these surges. And then the second thing is the levee systems aren't robust enough, they aren't high enough. We have a situation where a navigation canal goes right into the city, so we have a mechanism to inject the surge right into the city. So, you know, we really have to turn the wetland loss around, and we really have to come up with some major levee system, something like they've done in the Netherlands. Otherwise, you know, we could see the loss of New Orleans if we get another big one.
Government forecasters said earlier this week that they're predicting 13 to 16 tropical storms this year, not as many as last year, but still more than the typical. What has been done to the levee system since Katrina? What's actually gone on, and to what state of readiness do you think it's brought New Orleans and the surrounding communities?
Well, the Corps of Engineers has done a really fantastic job of repairing the breaches. So the repairs are very robust. In some cases, they've come in and built a much stronger designed wall, a so-called T-wall. But we need to recognize that there's still over 40 miles of these eye walls. There are many locations where these walls were stressed. They started to bend. They started to crack. And because a breach occurred nearby, it took the pressure off them. So we still have these weak spots. In other areas, the soils are even weaker now than they were before Katrina because of the pressure of that wall moving. And the last thing is, you know, the Corps has done a great job, but the levees are no higher in the critical areas. So we're just as vulnerable now as we were before Katrina to a flooding from a major storm.
So do you see the Corps of the country is kidding itself here? Are we prepared to step up? Do we have the resources to step up, the engineering skills to step up and really protect New Orleans? Or is it headed to become what you've called a Cajun Atlantis, a kind of lost city one day?
Well, if you look at what the federal government's done in the last 9 months in terms of putting resources, finance, you know, money, and as well as getting the various construction companies involved, if we could keep that pace for the next 5 or 6 years, we could definitely, you know, build a far better system. But we have to recognize it's not just New Orleans. It's the whole of coastal Louisiana that's very, very susceptible to these surges. So we need to be thinking a little bigger than New Orleans. We need to be thinking coastwide. And we need to really look at what the Dutch have done and kind of mimic their system in order to protect all of coastal Louisiana.
We'll look at that at the Dutch initiatives, but I want to begin to bring our listeners in as well. Derek's calling from Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Hi, Derek. You're on the air. Hello, Derek. Are you there, my friend? Let me see if I can get another caller here. We've got Jan calling from Sterling, Massachusetts. Hi, Jan. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. In terms of New Orleans and all the weather, you know, incidences that we've been seeing recently, you know, with the Category 5 hurricanes, you know, the tornadoes in numbers that we haven't seen before, tsunamis that we haven't experienced before, I was curious as to why nobody is talking about the HAARP project, H-A-A-R-P, that went into effect in the 70s. And Ted Kennedy actually signed that bill to go into effect.
And what was that, the HAARP project?
Well, the military was really looking at being able to control weather fronts so that if they went into battle, they could go in under favorable weather conditions.
So instead of building the levees higher, maybe go up and, what, kill the hurricane in the sky somehow?
Well, more look at, you know, how do you, right, just exactly that. How do you either surge a weather front or, you know, control a weather front, just like the movie Tornado or whatever it was. But anyway,
They had plans for that, and you wonder if we might still roll those out. Ivor Van Heerden, how do you think about that? Are we ever going to be able to control the weather, or do we have to confront this on the ground?
Well, there were attempts in the 60s and 70s to try and lessen the impacts of hurricanes by seeding them, but we have to recognize a hurricane like Katrina has the energy of about 100,000 atomic bombs. And the scale of the circulation, you know, these things are hundreds of miles across. There's absolutely no way that we can change the weather patterns other than, obviously, through things like global warming. But to come in and try and change weather patterns, unfortunately, the scale is just too big. It could never be done.
So gear back global warming, and it might have a nice ameliorative effect, but to go straight into the teeth of a hurricane and turn it away, maybe not. Ivor Van Heerden, if you'd stand by for just a moment, we're joined right now from New Orleans by Colonel Terry Ebert. He's Director of Homeland Security for New Orleans, a retired Marine colonel. Colonel Ebert, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Tom.
We've been talking about the new hurricane season coming up and the level of readiness along the Gulf and in New Orleans. Sitting there today, the mock evacuation is halfway through. You've seen what has and has not happened with the levees. We've heard Michael Chertoff, your boss, talking about trucks ready of MREs and ice and water, you name it. Are we better prepared, significantly better prepared than we were for Katrina? Are we well enough prepared?
Well, I think we're much, much better prepared than we were last year. We obviously had a lot of lessons learned. We've been working over the past 6 months with our partners at the federal, state, regional, and local levels to really try and do three things. We had three objectives in the city of New Orleans. One was to create an environment where it makes more sense for people to leave than to remain in the face of a Cat 3 or 4 or 5 hurricane. Two, to create a city-assisted evacuation plan for those individuals who do not have the capability to move themselves. And three, we knew in the aftermath of last year we had to do a much better job of dealing with the security situation because that we had to develop a confidence both pre- and post-storm that people's property is going to be cared for. Otherwise, they're not going to leave. So everything that we've done has been built around those three objectives.
Colonel Ebert, of course, you have to deal with a hurricane if and when it comes and with whatever failures there are of the protections. You know, Ivor Van Heerden said before Katrina that New Orleans was not ready for a Category 3 storm, and he says it's not ready for one now. Katrina didn't even amount to that, and it's not ready today. Do you have confidence in the Army Corps of Engineers' efforts to defend the city against that level of storm?
I'm not an engineer. We in the first responder area, I have the responsibility of protecting people, and we believe that the best protection of protecting human beings is to convince them that they should leave the city of New Orleans in the face of a Cat 3 or a greater hurricane. And so we've worked in that regard. I don't build levees. I don't design levees. But I am the individual that has to plan to move the people out, because I feel, and the mayor feels, that that's the safest way to conserve human life.
We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Ivor Van Heerden, Colonel Everett says he's not an engineer. You are. Is he being put in a fair situation as head of Homeland Security in New Orleans? Is he being left more vulnerable, he and the people of New Orleans, than they should be by the engineering there?
Well, you know, I repeat, we have the same level of protection we had pre-Katrina. What Katrina taught us is that, you know, we definitely do not have the New Orleans is not safe if we have any storm greater than a slow-moving Category 2. So, you know, what New Orleans is trying to do makes an enormous amount of sense, is recognizing that the city could flood again. Let's make sure we get everybody out as quickly and as safely as possible. You know, the bottom line is we're going to have to redesign coastal Louisiana. We're going to have to build major levees, restore wetlands, and so on, in order to be able to give everybody that the Cat 5, if you will, protection.
Terry Ebert, we've heard about some snafus in the mock evacuation. Of course, that's what they're for, to iron out the wrinkles. If you had a Katrina in June or July and August this year, are we going to see the same kinds of scenes of people sweltering in facilities there, forgotten, and all the rest? Are you confident if it comes, if the levees can't hold it back, that you can get folks out and we won't see that repeated?
I can guarantee you that those things will not be repeated. What we're working hard again, really, I believe, sort of setting the model, and I believe that the things that we in conjunction with the state and our regional partners here, the other surrounding parishes of Jefferson, St. Tammany, St. Bernard, and Plaquemines, we're sort of going to be the model. We're looking at moving 1.5 million people in a very short period of time to safety, and doing it in a manner that doesn't put people's lives in jeopardy, keeps families together. And so we think that we've worked very hard, and we, again, need our citizens to believe in us, because there's a step of voluntary, precautionary, mandatory, and the only thing above mandatory is a forced evacuation. The forced evacuation would be literally moving in the houses and pulling people out, and we're not going to do that. So we're depending upon our ability to create a plan that people feel comfortable with, so that they will leave when the mayor and the governor ask for a mandatory evacuation.
Colonel Ebert, Time Magazine came down, looked at the situation there, talked with Ivor Van Heerden and many others, and came away saying that New Orleans had learned the lesson that they can count on no one outside New Orleans, that they can't trust and count on anybody else, including the federal government. Is that a fair lesson for them to have come away with from Katrina and what's come after?
I think that it was a very tough period of time last year when we dealt with those issues. But I think it's not practical to believe that the city of New Orleans, the surrounding parishes, and the state of Louisiana, which is a small population state, can do this in isolation with no resources. And I think that we've worked very hard, and the federal government is already pre-staging those basic supplies. Our plan, we're going to be the first city that's going to use rail as part of its transportation of evacuees. I believe that there are several things that the federal government needs to realize that can't be done, and one of them is, I still believe, We need a national rail transportation plan. We're going to have a New Orleans and Louisiana plan, but if this storm comes ashore at Mobile, it's not going to do them any good. So we need a national plan. We need a
rail transportation. Do you mean trains to get people out of there?
I believe that to leave the utilization of trains, which are a great asset, on the sideline is not the best answer. So we're going to use a combination this year of buses and trains to move those people again. Not the population that should be moving on their own, but these are people for various reasons who don't have the capability to move out of the area. We're going to move them.
And there's strategy number one for a new hurricane season. Get the people out, even if we can't entirely keep the water from coming in. Colonel Terry Ebert, Director of Homeland Security for New Orleans, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
We're at 1-800-423-TALK. Derek is calling from Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Hi, Derek. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing? Listen, there was one question that I wanted to ask, which has come up a couple of times, but has never really been addressed.
Yeah.
What happened is there was the Army Corps of Engineers had asked for money to be, to be allotted tens to hundreds of millions of dollars to fix these levees, and it was always rejected. Now, it seems to me as though if we had spent that, say $500 million to fix these levees.
You mean before Katrina?
But of course. Well, this has been proposed several decades before, and it had been brought up over and over and over again. If we had done it at that point, you'd be talking about, this would probably be a moot point because the damage wouldn't have happened.
Should have been a very different conversation. Let me put that to my guest, Ivor Van Heerden. How about it? You describe yourself and others have done the same as the Cassandra before Katrina, warning that this could happen. Were there proposals to do better, and why weren't they acted on?
The levees that we ended up with were the result of the actions taken by the Corps of Engineers and the New Orleans Levee Boards. And there were definitely, many, many occasions where decisions were made to cut corners, but to cut costs. There are a number of examples where the original design were these very, very robust T-walls, which are kind of like the letter A. They're very, very hard to knock over, and they were replaced with I-walls. And we're still trying to get to the bottom of that, but it looks like it was cost-cutting measures. So the unfortunate thing is it's not as sexy, if you will, to be building levees compared to dredging canals or building facilities for trade. And I think that's the lesson that we've learned is that all across the country, we need to recognize that infrastructure like levees, like dams, are all part of a big safety net, and we need to really focus on building those the very best way we can.
Steve is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
We're well.
I was fine. I was down in New Orleans working for ARNO, Animal Relief New Orleans, in February, and I was also down there September, October. And I have seen now, it's several months past, but there was very little progress towards cleaning that city up. You saw very few FEMA trailers. The electric in a lot of areas wasn't working. And I don't think there is progress taking place. And I don't know where the government money is going, but it's not being utilized very well in New Orleans.
Let us put it to Ivor Van Heerden. Professor Van Heerden, what about it? You've said this is not rocket science. It never has been. It only requires a political system that can get it done. So is it getting it done? If not, why not?
Well, I think the big thing we have to recognize is that 125,000 families lost their homes overnight, and many of them didn't have flood insurance. They've received no compensation from the federal government for the failure of the federal levees. And many of them are sitting, in Houston, Atlanta, other parts of the country. They're basically destitute. So they don't even have the resources to get back, let alone try and rebuild their homes. So New Orleans is not going to really come back, if you will, until we come up with a system to compensate all of those who lost their homes. The state has developed a plan where it would give each family about $150,000, but that still is awaiting funding from the federal government. So, you know, it's very difficult if you have no resources, you've lost your job, only 15% of the businesses have come back, for you then to pick up sticks from where you are in Atlanta or anywhere else and come and try and rebuild your home.
So do you believe that the country, that New Orleans itself, is really serious about a long-term future here? Or are we still kidding ourselves about the resources and coordination required to sustain that, given the ongoing threat?
Well, New Orleans and coastal southeast Louisiana is critically important to our economy, both from the trade through the ports and oil and gas, chemical plants, refineries. The people in New Orleans are definitely, you know, dead keen and determined to bring their city back. But they don't have the resources themselves. The state certainly doesn't have the resources. And recognizing that these were the federal government's levies, it was their security system that failed, we really should be seeing a lot more support coming from the White House to help these folk get their lives back. You know, if just to give your listeners a scale, if in their hometown, if they drove late at night for 40 to 45 minutes, dead straight, roads with no traffic, that gives you an idea of the size of New Orleans that is absolutely dead. You know, it's just empty house after empty house after empty house.
Tim's calling from Charron, South Carolina. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. What do you know?
I'm just wondering, when I hear all this, whether or not it's really worth putting the money into rebuilding New Orleans when we know it's in a flood like that. We know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of 100 years. Everybody says it's 100 years things. You can't stop a hurricane. We lived through Hugo here in South Carolina. We can't turn it around. And billions and billions of dollars are not going to stop it. And government subsidizing people to rebuild in there just doesn't seem to be an answer at all. Now, if industry and all wants to go back there, they're taking their own risk. But to put people, subsidize people to move back into that, I just don't see the point in doing that at all.
Tim, let us pick it up. Ivor Van Heerden, I mean, Tim is speaking to something that's kind of implicit in what you've written at some level. You said for years, we're not putting into this what's required. You're still raising doubts today about whether we're putting into it what's required. If you're not going to, does it make sense? And then Tim says, you know, you just can't. You just can't protect this long-term from the kind of weather threat that sits there.
Well, you know, we have to recognize that this is a $300 billion catastrophe. To give New Orleans the protection that would ensure its longevity for many, many hundreds of years is going to require about $30 billion worth of infrastructure.
Is anyone proposing that level of intervention?
There are plans right now being developed, and certainly I put something in my book, a plan to try and stimulate the debate. We're very fortunate in Louisiana is that we don't have to only rely on our levees. We've got our wetlands and we've got our barrier islands. Unfortunately, the wetlands and the barrier islands are in very, very sad shape, mostly because we've controlled the Mississippi River and we don't let the sediment, the goodness, the nutrients get out into the wetlands. And also, the nation has benefited hugely from the cheap oil and gas that's been mined out of our wetland areas. So if we were to come back and build the levees in a smart way and then let the Mississippi River do what it wants to do in terms of creating a new land and then rebuild our barrier islands, and there are sand resources we could do that. So if you think about it this way, the barrier islands would protect the wetlands. The wetlands would protect the levees, and in turn the levees would protect the homes. So, you know, I firmly believe that we can, with the right planning and the right effort, we can ensure that New Orleans is there for a long time. And we need to recognize that other cities, as global sea levels rise with global warming, other cities are going to be facing some of these similar problems. So this is a way for us to, you know, look at what the Dutch have done. They have 1 in 10,000 year protection.
Mm-hmm.
Use some of their ideas and come in and say, you know, we're going to draw the line in the sand and we're going to ensure that this infrastructure survives because it's so important to our economy.
But when I look at the country, I don't see that kind of reckoning yet, that kind of deep coming to terms with the cost, the real cost of living with these threats. Tim doubts that it's even possible. You say it is with, let's say, $30 billion. But that, as nice as the plans may be, nobody has put that money up here. So it still leaves me wondering if we're not going to put up those resources, then does it still make sense to leave thousands and thousands of people vulnerable to the kind of destruction we saw with Katrina?
Well, you know, President Bush, I think it was on the 16th of September down in New Orleans, said that, you know, America will rebuild New Orleans. It will be much better by the time it's finished. So, you know, we in Louisiana have taken him at his word, and we believe that ultimately Congress will give us the monies that are needed. You know, New Orleans, 40% of all exports from the United States go out of New Orleans. Just as an example, you know, there are four major oil refineries very nearby. It's the heart of a navigation infrastructure that extends from Texas to Florida. So there's enormous value. And then the last thing is 40% of the U.S. fisheries are caught in Louisiana waters. So it has an enormous value to the country.
Warned of the threat, Ivor Van Heerden, but still sticking up for the city. Lydia's calling from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Hi, Lydia, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm a Katrina evacuee. I was down there recently, and there are so many houses now that have been damaged, have been partially rebuilt, or their roofs are off, et cetera. And I'm concerned that it will take a hurricane of even lesser strength to destroy the city. I don't know if there are any calculations on that, whereas before it might have been a Category 4 or 5. Now even a Category 2 or 3 could wipe out the city.
Let me put it to Ivor Van Heerden. Professor, you said that it was supposed to be ready for Category 3, that Katrina was Category 1 by the time it actually came to much of the city. What do you think it's realistically prepared to endure today?
Well, you know, in terms of the surge, New Orleans won't flood unless we get a storm that exceeds a slow-moving Category 2. And so anything Katrina size and bigger will put water into the city. You know, we are obviously all concerned about the FEMA trailers that many people are living in because these are not sturdy structures. They have a history of being toppled very easily in hurricane-force winds. So, you know, what the city is trying to do, encourage everybody to evacuate, is very important. And one of the good things, if you will, from Katrina was the contraflow system that the state had developed worked extremely well. You know, over 450,000 cars left New Orleans, the greater New Orleans area, the 2 days before the storm. And that contraflow flowed them, you know, north into Mississippi and other parts of Louisiana. So we've got that part of it, the evacuation worked out. The tough part is the folks who don't have the resources to leave.
We've got just a minute here. What do you think of the odds? Look that 50 or 100 years out. Do you see a Cajun Atlantis or a lost city, or do you see the political resolve and the resources put to really and truly protect this city and region?
If we don't develop the political resolve, it won't only be New Orleans. It's going to be other cities like Tampa, Houston, even Long Island, parts of New York could suffer. So, I firmly believe in the greatness of the United States and the pioneering will that built this country, put us on the moon, put SUVs on Mars. I believe we're going to get it, and we're going to get it right.
But it's not done yet. Ivor Van Heerden, Deputy Director of the Louisiana State University Hurricane Center, author of the new book, The Storm, What Went Wrong and Why During Hurricane Katrina. Professor Van Heerden, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tom, for this opportunity.
This is On Point.